Fight for your right.
Speak up.
Speak out.
We're union and we're proud.
Go Union.
Welcome to Activate Live, our weekly show highlighting machinist union members across the United States and Canada. I'm Delaine Adams, coming to you live from the IAM headquarters in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Before we begin, three IAM families need our help. On July 19, 2018, a workplace explosion at Letterkenny Army Depot in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, took the lives of two employees and seriously injured another. Eric Byers, 29 years old, and Richard L. Barnes, 60 years old, passed away from injuries suffered during the incident. And a third member, Cody Ash, remains in the hospital. Please consider donating whatever you can to these families during this difficult time, and please continue to pray for the families. And you can see the link right there on the screen. And GoFundMe, please do whatever you can to help these families. Thank you. Now, let's catch up on the latest IAM news from West Virginia. Machinist Union Local 818 has ratified a new three-year agreement at Technocap in West Virginia. Members of Local 818 were on strike for over 130 days. Members returned to work on Monday, and hopefully we can get someone on the show next week to tell us about this great victory. Congratulations to Local 818. Last week, we brought you the news that IAM Locals 21 and 1115 ratified a new four-year agreement after a four-day strike with heating and air conditioner maker Trane. And now joining me is Neil Kamrowski, DBR, from District 66, and Brad King, president of Local 21. Brad, Neil, how are you doing today?
Good. Good. How are you, brother?
How's it feel nowadays in La Crosse, Wisconsin?
A lot easier. Easier to breathe.
Easier to breathe. So you had the four-day strike at Trane. What were some of the major issues that caused the four-day strike that led now to their agreement?
I'm going to say the biggest issue overall was the mandatory overtime. A lot of the people who worked at Trane were working as many as 6 10-hour days straight, and this was mandatory overtime. So, they really had no work-life balance. That was the big one. The other ones, they tried putting in a no-fault attendance policy, and they also have a third tier of wages there, too. Mm. So.
Okay. Well, it seems like looking at some of the pictures and then reading some of the great things that were in iMail and then posted on the Midwest Territory Facebook page, that you received a lot of support, not only from the community, but also other local unions.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of a different feeling being out there on the picket line and having bus drivers who are also union honking the horns and waving as they drove by. Firefighters and police were doing the same thing. We had people from other unions, even Teamsters, who were part of the brewery here in town, came out on the line. They gave us water. Other local lodges did the same. AFL-CIO was very supportive.
Right.
So, it was a strike's never a great experience, but the community support itself was a good experience.
And Brad, from the local perspective, what are some of the things that helped the local and the members get through this period and help them get to the ratification?
Well, right from the get-go in February, we, as a committee and Neil, went out to Placid Harbor for the negotiation prep. We, from there, we set our calendar, we set our goals, how we're going to establish solidarity within our ranks. And as Neil pointed out, we have three tiers, and a lot of new guys are making considerably less, $4 or $5 an hour less than the upper two tiers. So that was a big concern of ours as far as how do we draw those in for solidarity and actually sticking to the calendar to do that.
So what's next? What's next for the local? What's next for the district? Brad?
Right now, we still have to maintain the solidarity within the ranks.
Okay.
Right now, we do fall in the right to work. The great thing that Walker did, which, being sarcastic, we had a lot of teachers stop by the picket lines donating stuff, and which was great. You know, they really took it as far as their Act 10, and it was nice to see the solidarity from there, which was actually helped our younger members actually see what solidarity means.
Let's talk about that for a second, Brad. You touched on right to work. Neil, have you seen more labor members getting more involved since the passage of right to work there in Wisconsin?
I guess I'm going to say it's a mixed bag. You got those that have never been supportive that are still not supportive, but then you see those that have been supportive just kind of not really activated, becoming more active. So, overall, I'm going to say the solidarity that Lodge 21 and 1115 experienced here echoes, I think, what the labor movement's seeing overall.
Okay. And were people encouraged with the victory in Missouri?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, great. Well, no, we appreciate. Thanks for coming on, Neil, Brad. Congratulations to the locals and congratulations on this new agreement. Thank you.
I just want to thank the Grand Lodge as well as Midwest Territory for the assistance that they gave us in this entire process too.
Yeah. And Neil, we saw a lot of the news stories that came out, and that was great that you guys were pretty proactive in making sure you got the message out, especially about why you were out on the line. So great job.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
So now we have Mark Harvey on the line. No. Okay. We'll wait. We'll switch and talk about commenting, liking, and sharing on Facebook, Twitter. Oh, and we have a nice message. So proud of you, Neil. Tasha Kamrowski, Dave Lehive saying hello, brothers and sisters. Bob Wood, the fighting machinists know how to win strikes. And Kelly, Easy Street, hello from Kansas City, Missouri. Stand strong, brothers. Appreciate that, Kelly Street. Again, comment, like, and share on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And right now, let's go to Tanya Hutchins. She's joining us from Phoenix, Arizona at the Pride Convention. Hello, Tanya, our number one host.
Hey, Delaine, how are you? You're number one right now.
Nah.
We are in Phoenix, Arizona at the Pride at Work Convention, and registration is happening today. But the real action starts tomorrow, and I'm actually going to bring in Jeremy Davis, who you all know from Pride at Work, to tell us a little bit about what we can expect this week. Come on in, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
He literally just walked in the door. Let's back up a little bit so we don't... There we go. So, Jeremy, tell us a little bit about what we can expect starting tomorrow.
Oh, we have some great speakers lined up, union leaders, members of Congress, local activists. It's going to be a wonderful convention. We have a bunch of changes that we're making to our bylaws to make ourselves more nimble and more ready for the challenges that are coming, especially under the Trump administration. We've got some great entertainment. Tonight's reception, we have...
Is it Motown Diva?
Motown Diva, yes. She does union parodies of Motown songs. So she writes new lyrics to them, and she's just fantastic.
We have seen her before. I first saw her at a CLU convention.
Oh, yeah.
Coalition of Labor Union Women, so... But if anybody is just joining us and you don't know what Pride at Work is, I'm going to let Jeremy explain. So we'll be educating everyone, even non-union members.
Great. Yeah, Pride at Work is the LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer constituency group of the AFL-CIO. So we represent LGBTQ union members throughout the labor movement in all unions. The AFL-CIO officially recognizes us as a constituency group, so we are housed within the AFL-CIO. We are part of the body of labor, so we are super excited, ready to get this convention started.
And we have a machinist union delegation here. They are just starting to arrive, and you have a great panel discussion coming up tomorrow. I forget the title of it, but Ronda Rogers is on it. Brittany Anderson is on it.
Yes. They're going to be talking about the future of civil and human rights work in the labor movement, given, you know, the changes in the administration with Trump and given, you know, the changes in labor, especially after the Janus decision came down and resources are a little tighter. How are we going to get our work done in a time of less resources and more need?
It's so important for people not to give up, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is like a crucial time to come together. So I'm so glad that everyone's meeting here this week.
Yeah, we are too.
What else do you want people to know about a Pride at Work convention if they've never been before?
It is a lot of fun. There are a lot of great people. We have one of the most diverse groups of members and attendees. It is 3 days of learning, of figuring out what the future looks like. We have workshops on Friday, teaching everything from, you know, how to bargain inclusive contracts to the problems with neoliberalism. So, you know, we cover it all, and we try to make sure that there's a something for everybody.
There is a lot of learning going on here. And I'm going to try to get into as many workshops as I can as well. So I know you're busy getting ready. Registration starts today, but continues tomorrow,
right.
I know. And people are just starting to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
So we are so glad that you took a few minutes out to talk to us.
Oh, I'm glad to do it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. So Jeremy's going to back at work. He had his National Executive Board meeting today, and they just got out. They're just breaking. We have Peter Greenberg here from our Strategic Resources Department. Ronda Rogers is going to arrive here as well, who is our Director of Women, Human Rights, and Young Workers Department. We also have our General Secretary Treasurer, Doris Cervantes, will be here. And also Brittany Anderson will be here as well, who we've interviewed in the past. So we hope to bring you some more live updates throughout the week to let you know how this convention is going here at Pride at Work in Phoenix. So we're getting things started, Delaine, and we'll show you all of the people who are from the Machinist Union coming up in the next few days.
Great. Sounds like a great convention ahead, Tanya. I can't wait to see members from the IAM in the pictures.
Yeah, and this room here, which I'll take this down for a minute.
Okay.
This is the room where everyone's going to be for the first plenary session. So everything is still being set up, but this room will be full tomorrow. Machinist Union members and members from other unions that are part of the AFL-CIO from all across the country and hopefully Canada too. I'll have to give you an update on that. But it's a chance for everyone to come together and work towards equality for LGBTQ workers. Lots of allies are here as well. So it's every time there's a convention, it's a chance for all of us to just work together to see what we can do individually and as a group as we go back to our home states and our home unions.
Great work, Tanya. Thank you for that thorough report from the Pride Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, again, as always, join the conversation. Talk about everything you heard so far. Right now we have Robert Foster, hello from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, District 1. Tammy Yeager, hello from California, thank you. And Dave Sneed, Local Lodge 315 from New Jersey, stand strong. All right, great, great comments. Well, this past week, IAM members from the United States and Canada attended the 2018 IAM Workers' Safety and Health Conference. And joining me now is Terry McClendon to talk about this conference and everything that went on during the week. How are you doing, Terry?
I'm doing great. I'm great.
Thank you. You had a great conference in Hollywood, Maryland, and a lot of great issues discussed. What were some of those issues?
Well, it was a great conference. We had a lot of different new guest speakers. Some of the things that we talked about was harassment, which is really big right now and is a subject that we need to be having a conversation around. Active shooters, also very important with, you know, basically every other day there's a shooting somewhere. And we had the policeman from a special agent and a sergeant coming from Amtrak up in Delaware. Amtrak Police Department. So that was really insightful and really interesting. We had a person talking about nanotechnology, which a lot of people might not realize, but almost everything has some type of nanomaterials these days in it. And we really don't know all the dangers that can happen to us, especially since they're using a lot of nanotechnology in medicines. Okay. And once it gets in the body, what does it do?
Let's go back. Nanotechnology, break it down for us.
Well, nanotechnology is about nano-sized particles, and they're so small that you can't see it with the naked eye. You have to have special equipment to see them. They're so small, smaller than a virus even. And we really don't know what it does once it gets into the body. And a lot of research has not been done. Enough research hasn't been done to see what it can do to, you know, some things don't belong inside the human body. And gotcha. So, I mean, it's used for so many different things, and it does some good, too, but we really don't know in the long run what it's going to do to us and the environment and everything. So it's really important to know those things.
So our members that came from all across North America, what are they taking away from this conference after this whole week of learning about a lot of these issues?
Well, they've learned a lot. Some of them felt that they were worked a little bit too much, but, you know, that's what it's about. You know, we believe in giving lots of resources and knowledge. We had so many different subjects this year. It was really great. But the thing is, we want them to be able to take something away that they can take back to their coworkers and even the companies, too, that how addressing hazards and the different situations that they may face in their workplaces. So we had 12 different subjects, actually, and by Thursday afternoon, they had to come up with a skit somehow that they were going to show the message that they wanted to take back. Yes, we were entertained in most cases, but they did a great job. We realized that they learned something. So
no, that's good. And W3, there's always great things happening at our education center. It's a crown jewel for us at the IAM. So what are some of the things you have coming up in terms of safety and health?
Well, we have different classes coming up. We have some OSHA classes coming up. And one is in New Jersey. One is going to be in with Spirit, also in Wichita. And I'm going up to Portsmouth Naval Shipyard next week, matter of fact. We're going to do a three-day joint labor management safety committee training.
Okay, so, and you talked about joint labor management. Let's touch on that for a second.
Okay.
So it takes both partners to really make sure that we're safe in the workplace. Are there a lot of relationships being formed or better relationships being formed in terms of workplace safety?
Yes, that what you just said was really, really important. It takes both labor and management to make sure things are right, efficient, working efficiently is correct. Workers are the ones that do the job, so they know what's going on with the job, and they should be included in decision-making. And this class is about, you know, working together as a team, getting them to realize that they have to work together, both sides have something to contribute and can help the other to be successful. And that's one of the most important things, when, especially with the Safety and Health Committee, because the ones that get hurt the most, but not always, are the workers.
Okay.
So they should have some say, you know, they can contribute what they see and what they are exposed to when they're working.
Oh, as always, a great job, Terry. We appreciate all the information that you give, not only here at headquarters, but throughout the territories. So thank you for coming on and continuing to share all this information.
Great. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Appreciate
take
it.
Care, Terry. So again, feel free to comment. We're here to share on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, even on our replay. Feel free to leave comments. Join the conversation. Let us know what you think. So now we have a special events calendar September 10th through the 14th, we have our IAM Aerospace Conference in Fort Worth, Texas. And September 24th through the 28th, we have the Midwest Territory Staff Conference in New Orleans, Louisiana. And don't forget, registrations are soon due for the EAP1 class, Veterans Services Program class, Advanced Women's Program, Intermediate Web Development, and September 23rd through the 28th is a Young Worker Strategy. Well, that's it for this episode of Activate Live. Tanya Hutchins will be here next week, but remember, keep the comments coming, and don't forget to join us again next week at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. See you then.